I've got a message tonight, and it is a message that is not a problem in our church, thank God. But you know what? It's a message I call preventative maintenance. It's something that we never want to become a problem, amen? And so it's one of those messages I like to preach that I would call preventative maintenance so that it never does become a problem. And the title of the message was given to me inadvertently by an evangelist. He came to our church years and years ago when I was a young pastor. He was a young evangelist, went to school with me. I knew him. And he preached special meetings in our church. And he used a phrase repeatedly while he was with us. And I pondered that phrase in my heart. And I wondered if that phrase was true. And over the years now, being here as a pastor, going into my 46th year as a pastor, I have found out, yes, it was true. He really had something there. So tonight I want to take that phrase that he quoted, and I want to use it as the title of my sermon. But before I do that, I want to give some disclaimers. Number one, I want to say my wife, whom I dearly love and appreciate, is a woman. Amen? You have to say that today, you know. You understand me. You have to say that today, you know. You have trans marriages and everything else. And Transformers, Bobby, I don't know. It's crazy stuff going on today. And then my three daughters, whom I also dearly love, and they love me, and they're all women, thank God. And then the majority of my grandchildren that I love are girls, by the way. Majority of my 15 grandkids are girls. And also in this church, as a pastor, I'm surrounded by a dream team of hardworking women who definitely are invaluable in partnering with me in my pastoral ministry here. And so I am very appreciative of godly women and have that here in our church for sure. I don't like to preach negative messages, but you know the Bible has a lot of negatives in it and warnings in it, and this is a preventative maintenance type message to warn us lest we ever have the problem that others have had and that we've had in the past, and that is clearly in the Bible tonight. And so just as God has greatly used the Apostle Peter, and he became a great apostle for the Lord, God uses godly women, but he had to rebuke Peter one time for his speech. Peter tried to get Jesus not to go to Jerusalem to present himself as the king. Satan was he was afraid that Jesus might be accepted as king. He didn't want that. So he tried to get Peter to keep him from going to Jerusalem. But you know what? But Peter was told by Jesus, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And a woman has the potential to be the greatest helper to a man and to men. A woman is designed by God to be the greatest helper. And in fact, that is why God made the woman to partner with the man, to be a helper of the man, and to help the man to complete himself and to reach out. But Satan has understood this, and so he's used a woman as his tool to be man's greatest hinderer. Satan knows that she can be his greatest helper, so he's also found out she can be his greatest hinderer. Why? Because the woman has such an influence upon the man. And so Satan has used women to bring the greatest hurt to men. So with all those disclaimers in mind and the background in mind, I would like to use the phrase of this wise evangelist in our church. And that phrase tonight is the title of my sermon. Here's the phrase: it's always a woman. It's always a woman. And I want to start out with Eve and say that it's always a woman, and so was Eve. And go to Genesis 3, and I'll look at verses 1 through 6 and read them to you. Genesis 3 and verses 1 through 6. Satan was going to attack the human race, and he didn't attack Adam, he attacked Eve. And so let me read this. It says, "Now the serpent," verse 1, "was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also," get this, "unto" what? "Her husband with her, and he did eat." And that's the downfall right there. It wasn't when she ate, but it was when she gave it to her husband, and now he ate. It's always a woman. And Satan used the woman to bring down the king of all creation, Adam, the mediatorial king. Now listen to me, he represented all of us. So when he sinned, you sinned. When he fell, you fell. The whole human race didn't fall when the woman sinned. He would have been a widower if he would have not gone along with her. But he did. Why did Satan do that? He's subtle, he's tricky. He knew the influence of the woman on the man. And also he knew he could have more likely success with her. To what? Deceive her. To deceive her. You ever played chess? And when you play chess, the goal of chess, how many have ever played chess at all? Even a little bit. The goal of chess is to put the queen in checkmate. The queen in checkmate. Satan, when he put Eve in checkmate, he knew he could get the king. Amen. He knew game over. And so he was successful in doing that. And you know, the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 2, verses 12 through 14, here's what he said about Eve and what happened to her. And I'm going to take his commentary. He said, But I suffer," that means I suffer not a woman to teach, "nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression." Now, he gives two reasons why a woman is not to be the head of the college. A woman is not to be the principal of the Christian school. A woman is not even to teach a teen or a men's Sunday school class. And why not? Why not? When she's to be in silence, that doesn't mean a woman can't give a testimony, can't sing, can't speak in Sunday school. But in the church, a woman is not to preach. A woman is not to teach a group of men. Right. Why is that? Because you have to understand God's word. He said, number one, the woman was deceived. Was Adam deceived when he sinned? No, it's clear from the Bible here in 1 Timothy, the woman was deceived. Well, why did Adam sin then? Because he wasn't about to lose his wife. He followed her leadership. He followed her leadership, even though he knew better. Even though he knew it would be wrong. He followed it. Now, she was deceived. She thought, yeah, this will make me wise. I can decide between good and evil. I can choose for myself what's good and evil. She went to another authority for wisdom other than the Word of God. And that's the whole thing of education outside of God's Word. It's led people. Do you know most of the voters in America today are women, and they're leading men to hell? and leading this country to hell? Do you know that's why the liberals are being elected in this country? Because most of the voters are women. And I'm talking about women that are being deceived and not checking in with male leadership. Nothing wrong with a woman voting if she's informed and has a good church and a good, stable. By the way, a woman shouldn't be the pastor of the church. Amen. But there are churches all over where women are becoming pastors in America. It's not a good thing for America. Thank God for women. My wife can do so many things that I can't do. I'm literally helpless without her. I'd be helpless in many ways without women in the church. But listen, everybody has their role. And a man's role is to be the leader. A man is more rationally based, a woman's more emotionally based. We need both. That doesn't mean a woman doesn't have reason or a man doesn't have emotion, but a man's more rationally based. So deceived is one reason. The other one is God made the man first. God made the man to be, listen to me, the man to be the king of creation. He was to name the animals. The man was to name the animals. The man was to rule over, and the woman was his queen to help him. She was not to rule over him, made out of his head or out of his foot so he could tromp on her, but out of his rib so she could partner with the man and help the man. And this is very important. So Satan played on these two things. He got the woman to be deceived and used that to get Adam because he knew he couldn't deceive Adam. And number two is he got the woman out of her place. Now once she's deceived and went the wrong way, she gave it to the man. And the man went along with the woman. Let me say something. Ronald Reagan, when he was the president, he wanted what's called for the budget a line item veto. How many have ever heard of a line item veto? That meant that the president could take the budget that the House of Representatives passed that became the budget of the United States, and the president could say, no, we got to cut the fat out here, and we got the fat out there. That's like Matt Gaetz is doing right now we got to cut the fat out. We're $23 trillion in debt, people. It's insane. And it's done in the name of helping people.
Garbage.
That's garbage. That doesn't help anybody. That's liberalism. It doesn't work. You don't help with other people's money. Right. You want to help, use your own money.
That's right.
Money that you earn, money that you have. Don't you throw other people. I'm sick and tired of it. And Matt Gaetz said, we're sick and tired of it, McCarthy. We're sick and tired of it. And I'm saying to you that we have a country that's out of kilter. And by the way, a man has veto power over his wife.
That's right.
Let me say that again. A man has veto power over his wife. And you better have the guts to use it. You better don't have to ask her permission, gentlemen, to say amen. You need to have the guts to, and there's a lack of males in our country. There is all kinds of hormone stuff going on where they're trying to turn males into females. And I'll tell you why they're doing it, because they want to control the country, the globalists. And they get this female mentality. We need men. We need real men. We need the return to men in America. And so anyway, Satan is somebody that started this, and it's always a woman, and he uses Eve to do that, and it was so with Eve. Secondly, it's always a woman. Not only with Eve, it was so with Sarah. Go to Genesis 16. I'm just going to read verses 1 through 4. You can look at it. It says, now when Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar, and Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she was that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. It was something that Sarai regretted. Abraham should have vetoed it, amen? But he did not veto it. Now, Sarai gave him counsel that was good in the past. She'd given him counsel in the future that was good. My wife gives me so much counsel. I asked my wife, she's one of my chief counselors. I ask her for counsel, and she gives me good insight. And a man should listen to the cautions of his wife. God use her. But I say he has veto power.
That's right.
And he needs to be able to exercise that veto power. And Abram did not do that. Unfortunately, he did not do that. He did not use that veto power. And what happened? Well, Abram went into Hagar, and Sarah thought, well, she'll be a surrogate mother and help God out, you know. And you know what resulted? The Arab-Israeli conflict all came from the fact Abram didn't use his veto power. So it's always a woman. And it was so with Eve, it was so with Sarai. Number three, it was so with Miriam. In Numbers chapter 12, it was so with Miriam. Now, remember who Miriam was. She was Moses' what? Big sister. Big sister. Older sister. And she was Aaron's older sister. Aaron was the priest of Israel. He was kind of like Moses' assistant pastor, if you will. And those two guys were together and worked together. But, you know, the big sister got in, and she decided she didn't like something Moses was doing. God was fine with it, but Miriam didn't like it. And so Miriam started to criticize Moses. And when she started criticizing Moses, she got her littler brother, the assistant pastor, she got him to criticize Moses. And so now the two of them are criticizing Moses, and it's always a woman that was the influence and was starting this big problem in Israel. And God saw the problem developing. And so what did God do? It says here, and by the way, it's apparent to me that Miriam was taking the leadership here over Aaron. And she was trying to take it over Moses by criticizing Moses. And so, in effect, she would become the pastor. She would become the principal. She would become the president. You see what I'm saying? She's trying by that criticism now to say, I'm smarter, I'm better, I know more. No, ma'am, you do not, Miriam. Now, let's see what God said about it. Here's what God did in Numbers 12, verse 8, it says, therefore the Lord dealt with her severely. And the Bible says, the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. Speaking of Aaron and Miriam. And it says later on, the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous. Now, Aaron wanted to get rid of that. Moses wanted to get rid of that leprosy and went to God. And God said, no, I'm not going to get rid of it right away. If her father would have spit in her face for something she did wrong. God said this. God said this. He said she'd have had to stay unclean for a few days. I'm going to keep her with the leprosy, God said. For a little while, she'll have to go outside the camp and she'll have to learn her lesson. You see, God stood up to Miriam, and she was a woman out of her place, and she was causing problems in the congregation. And she influenced Aaron to be an assistant of Moses out of his place, you see. And that was what was so bad about it. And I've had it happen in my ministry. I'm thinking of our ministry in the early days. I'm thinking of a lady in the church. My wife knows who I'm talking about. We had a senior deacon back then. It was not Joe Slobodnik. And this woman was the wife of the senior deacon. And I still remember I was preaching a message. She did not like the message. And instead of just sitting there and disagreeing, she got up out of her, deacon's wife, senior deacon, got up out of her seat and... went out the back doors. And I was like, oh boy, I don't think that one went over well this morning. And that you just kind of want to overlook it, you know, and ignore it. But no, it got worse. It festered. It got worse. And then it affected her husband. And he went along with that. And that attitude got in there. And sad to say, they left with a group and kind of led a group of people out of the ministry here and out of the work here. And a sad thing to say. And then, you know, Miriam, when she did that, she got leprosy. This lady got into alcohol after that. She and her husband got divorced after that. And a lot of bad things happened. And with the group that they affected, a lot of bad things happened. And so, once again, in the Bible, with Miriam, with Sarah, with Eve, and with this lady in our church, it's always a woman. Satan uses that. And also, number four, so it was with a woman by the name of Delilah. Delilah. And here's what it says in Judges chapter 16. I'll read it. Speaking of Samson, you know, who was a judge, a man of God in Israel. It said, and it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him. Entice him, and by what means we may prevail against him. Now notice that again. How does Satan work? He tried to get to Adam through whom? Eve. He tried to get to Aaron, the assistant, through whom? Miriam. He tried to get to Abraham successfully to make a real bad move through Sarah. And he's trying now to get to the judge of Israel, the strong man, the man the Philistines could no way defeat. Only one way, if he got a woman to entice him to give away the secret of his strength. And you know what? No man could do that. Only a woman could do that. And it says that we may bind him and see wherein his great strength lieth and by what means we may prevail against him. Can I pause and just say something to you ladies tonight? If you are a lady, do you always help your husband or the men that you have influence with by helping them to click around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission? Or do you have weak moments and help the enemy to cause your husband to be weakened in his commitments? Jesus had to tell Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. So the question is, are you helping your man to partner with God's strong man, or are you sowing seeds in your weak moments of discord from Satan? And men, are you aware of this? And are you able to check it and to deal with it? I'm thinking of a lady who was another deacon's wife, and I remember her, her man was a strong man. He was physically strong. He was a very muscular man, very manly man, and yet a very godly man. And he was a man that was a man of prayer and a man that had the hand of God on his life. And this man looked to me like he had great potential, but his wife sowed discord against him staying here and got him to pull away from here in order for him to become a pastor on his own. It was a good goal for him to be the pastor, But he wasn't ready, you see? And so she pulled him away prematurely. And this happened with the deacon's wife, and it hurt that man, and it hurt our church. And it happened with another deacon's wife, where she did the same thing. She got with somebody that didn't even talk to me, and got this guy that was a deacon. He became a pastor, and it wasn't with me. It was after the fact that I found out about it. His wife got with somebody else, and they got him out of here, and now he could, and she could be a pastor's wife. You know, she was a deacon's wife. She had those ambitions, and she influenced him, and he became he had a problem. He wasn't able to handle it in the church, and when he had that problem, he got bitter, and he got into alcohol. And then their home began to have terrible destruction happen to it. And to this day, I just talked to her a while back, and terrible things have happened in their home and their family. But really, it's always a woman. She was the one. The key influence. And the other deacon, the same thing. It's always a woman. As it was with Eve, as it was with Sarah, as it was with Miriam. So it was with Elijah. So it was with Delilah. It's always a woman. So I'm just saying that happened, and Delilah, of course, gave away the secret of Samson's strength, and they took it, and Samson was defeated because of a woman. I'm just going to say tonight, if you are a woman, remember that Satan is gunning to use you to pull down your man away from the man of God and away from fulfilling God's role in his life. Remember that. Satan wants to use you. He wants to use your emotions to lead him away and astray. And men, remember that in all of the Bible here, and in my pastoral experience, when that evangelist said, when he talked about problems in the church, problems in the Christian school that developed, that cut against what God wanted, he said, it's always a woman. And you know what? He was right. 46 years going into, and that's the way it has been with all of the major things that developed. Why is that? A woman is the weaker vessel because of her influence on the man. For good or for bad. You could be the greatest blessing. You could be the most great contributor to help the man. Or you can become the greatest hurt and harm and hindrance. And that's why it's always a woman. And Satan knows that. And God knows that. And you men, you need to step up to the plate. You need to be locked in to the Word of God and have God first in your life. By the way, a woman that's worth her salt does not want a man that puts her first. She wants a man that puts God first, because she's looking for that. And a godly woman wants that. And we need more men that will be men that will follow God. And I think of a woman she saw on college, her husband-to-be, and she said she saw her husband, and just the way he walked, she knew he was following God. She knew that he knew where he was going, and she said, I want to help that man. My wife, when she met me, she knew that I knew where I was going with God, and she wanted to help me. Now, that's the best thing you can do. The best thing you can do as a man to have a woman come into your life is be going for God, and then she can help you. But be aware that Satan will attack, and he'll attack the weaker vessel and try to get her to lead the man astray. Amen and amen. Let's pray and ask God to bless. And this evening, when we say